Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, all phone guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We have the Eagles quarterback, Jalen Hurts, on in 10 minutes with us.
Eagles fly.
Now, is Alabama still claiming him, Key, or is he Oklahoma's? I'm still confused.
That's a good question.
Well, come on, man. They're going to try to claim him at Alabama. My last game is Oklahoma. My last time seeing him wear a uniform was Oklahoma. So, I don't – and his most success in college football in a single season was Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Well, he is in the National Football League at the Philadelphia Eagles because of Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma.
And the Eagles obviously believe in dude, because not only did they not package the pick to get a receiver when they could have to move up and get a receiver or trade or anything like that, but they used the pick on him after they signed Carson Wentz. Then they go get him a receiver instead of grabbing someone like Justin Fields. He gets all the reps with the ones. And then because they trade for Gardner Minshew, who was given away, like, why wouldn't you take him as a backup? People are like, oh, they don't believe in Jalen Hurts. Seems to me they believe in Jalen Hurts, Key.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts has nothing to worry about with Gardner Minshew. It's about the contract. You get him for two more years. He's under his rookie deal still. And he's a viable backup. I mean, Joe Flacco's not going to be around forever. What is Joe – you know, it's like – I personally would rather have Gardner Minshew back him up
easily
than Joe Flacco.
Gardner Minshew can start on a, you know, he's okay. Yeah.
He's okay, but think about that psychologically, though, right? Think about what you just came from, where Jalen Hurts comes to a team in which Carson Wentz is there, and he's somewhat, you know, fractured mentally. He's worried about that position. I don't think anybody thinks that Gardner Minshew is going to take Jalen Hurts' spot, which gives him a lot more confidence going to that role. I mean, he dealt with a lot last year. To see the way he shined, the way he rose to the occasion, did he have some bumps in the road? Of course. But I think he's deserving of being QB1 for the Eagles this year.
You know, a lot of people are counting the – it's not counting them. There's a difference between thinking a team is going to come in fourth, like take the NFC West. Whoever you take to come in fourth, still a pretty good team, right? And counting them out. I'm not counting – I'll take the Eagles to come in fourth. But I'm not counting them out because it's the NFC East, Key. We see them pass this around every year. No one seems to want to take it, so they kind of pass it around. And these are big rivalries. And I look at the Eagles like, yeah, that's a team that can surprise people.
Yeah, they are a team that can win a handful of games, I think, in this league this year. But I don't think they're ready yet. I think they're young. The coaching staff is young. They're still trying to understand the identity, all of those sort of things. And it's okay. It's okay to grow. It doesn't have to be instant. It doesn't have to be a microwave with this young man. You can bring him along slow, build the chemistry with Jalen Reagor, build the chemistry with Devontae Smith, add some pieces to the defensive side of the ball. And so as you start to year three as a starter, that's when he needs to start to kind of take the next step. Year one and two, he's still learning how to play the position at the pro level, because this is not collegiate football.
Jay, one thing was really obvious. When he took over the offense, the Eagles came alive. Like, I look at the Arizona game, Kyler Murray's on the other side, and Jalen Hurts looked like he belonged. He made a lot of really, like, oh, look at that. But the offense looked like they wanted to play for him differently than when Carson Wentz was in the game, to me. And that says something.
Well, you just saw the way everybody rallied around him. And plus, look, that dual threat ability – he made so many plays last year with his feet out of the pocket. I think it spoke volumes about how he leads, but he's been doing that. He did that at Alabama. He did it at Oklahoma. I think the issue that you have for the Eagles is that aging defense. I mean, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for a league, especially with the way Washington is, with the way the Giants' defense, marginal. We still have questions about Dallas, but the Eagles definitely have the force fourth worst defense in the NFC East.
Okay, so even if – I'm not counting them out, but I am taking them four, right? I'll take my Giants three in that division, and before the preseason, I took them one. I figured the offensive line will get a little better, and they'll be the second-best offensive team and the second-best defensive team without a glaring weakness. But the offensive line in the preseason looked – they were dead last. They were the worst offensive line in football last year. And if anything, they look worse to me so far. So I'll take – I'm not counting anyone out of the division – but I'll take the Giants at three. What do you think of the Giants?
I think three look, I would flip-flop back and forth between Washington and the Giants. The Giants could have very well been in the playoffs if it wasn't for Philadelphia doing what they did at the end of the season. They could have backdoored them in the playoffs instead of Washington. But when Philadelphia decided to do what they did, the Giants just, you know, couldn't get into the playoffs, and that was a whole stink on Giant fans against the Eagles and their fan base. But I would flip-flop the Giants in Washington week to week. I just think Dallas has the most talent, and they have the quarterback that's the best within the division, so they get the nod to be number one.
Jay, I hear what Key is saying about Dallas, and they certainly have the quarterback, and usually that's the easiest indicator, right? Like if you have a different kind of quarterback, they do. But I wonder if every year we don't overrate Dallas's chances simply because we give them so much attention. We're familiar with all the players that we tend to think, well, they just got more talent. Like, think of how many years it's been now where in the preseason we're like, well, the Cowboys just got more talent. And I'm starting to think maybe, well, they have more famous players because we pay attention to them. Do they actually have more talent? Because they had Dak, and they were the best offense in the division. They still only won 8 games and missed the playoffs a couple years ago when Dak was healthy.
But you know what, though, Max? It's a very easy exercise. You know, you like math. You like doing homework and all that sort of stuff. All you got to do is look at who's going to start on what teams. Like, is there – so when you look at it, can Dak Prescott start on most teams in the NFL,
yes,
let alone the ones in
his
division?
In the NFC East, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott. So when you start to – Zach Martin, when you start to break it down like that, would you rather have this player on this team versus that player? It's going to be more Cowboys selected, in my belief, than any other team's players – if you was assembling a team.
Now,
that's why you push them up.
NFC East is not the most talented division of all time, Jay. But what about that? Is Key right that Dallas is in fact more talented? Because we're talking about both sides of the ball, special teams, everything. Are they in fact more talented, as Key is claiming? Or are we also kind of influenced by the fact that we spend so much time talking and thinking about them that they're more familiar to us, and they seem to be more talented when we add it all up in our heads?
I think on paper they are more talented. I think the one thing that sets them apart, other than the Giants, the Washington football team, and the Eagles, is the play of Dak Prescott before he got hurt. I mean, look, I know they were 1-3, but he single-handedly was keeping them in games. It felt like he was in the MVP type of conversation.
Outskirts, yeah.
And I think having that extra element to your team elevates them. Now, whether he can get back to that form, that's the question we're all waiting to see.
Yeah, he
got the bag. Doesn't mean he's going to get back to the MVP caliber.
Even when he went 8-8 and their offense was really high powered, you know, they were airing it out in the second half of games because they were losing and stuff. Like, even then, I'm not doubting Dak is better than the rest of the NFC East quarterbacks. I'm saying that's not an exceptionally high bar, Key. Like, you know, I'm better than the rest of the NFC. So Fitzpatrick, Daniel Jones, and by the way, Hurts has upside, but he's brand new to the league.
Well, yeah, but Dak Prescott falls in line with some of the other quarterbacks in the NFC, let alone the total, the NFL as a whole. Yes, they do get the hype because it's the Dallas Cowboys. There's no question about it. But again, if you go around the National Football League, you point to that. You're like, oh, he could play there. Oh, he could play there. You know, can Tyron Smith and Leo Collins play on other offensive lines in the National Football League?
We'll take them on the Giants.
We'll take anybody in the Giants.
Exactly. So it's like,
Leo Collins, hell
that's
yeah.
That's why DeMarcus Lawrence, okay, Michael Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, when you start to Jalen Smith, when you start to do that, you look at it, you go, well, they got a wealth of talent. It's about coaching him up now, though.
Coaching
them up. Can we coach them up to get them to do what we want them to do?
What about
so
that,
we
Jay?
Can be successful?
Jay, what about that, coaching them up?
Well, I mean, look, that's going to be the question. We talked about this earlier. Mike McCarthy, last year, obviously, he was dealt a pretty difficult hand. But I wonder, you know, if things start to, by week 4, week 5, if they're not going in Dallas's favor, that's what it comes down to. There's no more excuses, right? We're saying Dak's going to get a pass. Right, we're saying Zach Martin's out due to COVID. We'll question Ezekiel Elliott. Obviously, the offense needs to get going. The defense, Dan Quinn, they need to get better. We understand that. But inevitably, if they don't reach their potential, this is all on Mike McCarthy.
Well, I mean, look, Jason Garrett loses his job eventually. A lot of the criticism was play calling. He gives it up, whatever. Mike McCarthy, to me, was an underwhelming hire key. And the reason I say that is because, you know, and by the way, until I know Jerry Jones is now saying that that he's going to put him in the Ring of Honor. But Jimmy Johnson, like, you know, ever since they moved off Jimmy Johnson, other than Switzer winning with his players one time, they haven't won a Super Bowl. And Parcells didn't last long there either. And to me, it seems like Jerry Jones needs the kind of head coach with an ego that where Jerry can always be the star. And in Mike McCarthy, Key, what I saw was they were looking around. Not like anyone was banging down the guy's door to hire him as coach, right? He lost his job with Aaron Rodgers. And they looked for a guy with the most gravitas they can find, the best resume they could find, who wasn't going to push back with Jerry too much. That was my concern with Mike McCarthy. And remember, Key, they rolled him out at the press conference. He's like, well, I've studied analytics for the last year. Now I get it. And I I'm not convinced. I'm not, based on what I've seen so far, I'm not convinced. I wouldn't rule it out, but I'm not convinced. Where are you on Mike McCarthy?
I don't mind the hire. I think that, you know, sometimes these coaches take a step away from the game and they come back refreshed and things may be a little different for him. He fell into a situation last year where everything kind of fell apart and so the season was a disaster. Mm. We'll see what it is this year. When you talk about underwhelming and what coaches based on Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, Parcells, Wade Phillips, like where's the snack, crackle, pop, sizzle been with these other hires? There hasn't been any. Because when you cast a line and you go out there and you get a guy, try and get a guy like Mike Zimmer, who's under contract in Minnesota. That word was floated out there for some time that could be a possibility if he was let go in Minnesota. Minnesota extended his contract. Sean Payton. Oh, my God, when is Sean going to Dallas? He has a house in Texas. He coached for the Cowboys. Jerry Jones loves him. He found Tony Romo. Well, he got a mega deal with New Orleans. So there's just not a lot of quality that's out there that you can see them going and getting. You know, some of the great coaches are already under contract. He can't get Pete Carroll. He's under contract. Like, it's just not a lot of guys out there to choose from that would make him satisfied.
Well, I can tell you that the NFC East is up for grabs as always. And joining us now on behalf of the FedEx Air and Ground NFL Awards is Jalen Hurts. FedEx and Hurts just collaborated on a new launch video to kick off the season's awards. Be sure to head to Hurts's social to check it out and vote weekly for the awards at NFL.com/FedEx and via the NFL's handle on Twitter. Jalen, thank you for joining us today. How have you handled taking over the starting role full-time this season?
You know, I've handled like anything else. Just going in there with the right mentality, having the right mentality. You know, and that's to keep the main thing. You know, lead the guys around me, build relationships with the guys around me, and go out there, you know, play to our standard to play.
What's up, Jay, man?
What's going down?
Not much, just same thing, different day. What you got this, you're in this role now, and what's been the biggest challenge for you with this young offense trying to get things going?
Now, I think, you know, all training camp, having conversations with, you know, my teammates and Coach Sirianni even, is to, you know, find out what our identity is. Not only as offense, but as a team. And we have a lot of players that are going to be getting, you know, new opportunities this year. And, you know, we all want to take advantage of them. So it's just putting those pieces together and seeing what's what. So we're excited for that.
Jalen, Jay Williams here. Since you and I met at Alabama, man, like we kind of been staying in close touch. And just watching your growth from your time at Bama to Oklahoma to what you went through last year, what was your experience like learning last year? What did you take away from last year that you're going to bring in for this year?
You know, one of the things I took away was you have to appreciate every moment, one. And I value so much of the relationships I have with my teammates and knowing that as a quarterback, as a leader, it's not about you, you know, it's about the people around you. I mean, it's about, you know, uplifting them to play to the highest of highs, and bringing the best out of them. So I challenge myself every day, go out there and do my job, know the things that I need to know, and handle mines, you know, and lead.
Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Jalen, let me ask. Oh, sorry, Key. Did you have more? You have more
no,
to read?
No, go right ahead.
Jalen, you were taken in the second round when Carson Wentz was under contract, and they could have, you know, used that pick to move up and get a, you know, trade for a receiver, get a receiver from Wentz. They use it on you. You then come in. The offense comes alive when you get in. The Eagles' offense, you could see the team responded to your presence. In this draft, they did not draft a quarterback. They went and got you a receiver. And then you take all the reps with the ones. They make a trade for Gardner Minshew, and everyone's like, oh, they don't believe in Hurts. But to me, if you can get a backup like that so cheap, of course you do. It seems to me the Eagles believe in you. Is that how you feel? What does that mean to you?
I definitely feel that way. And given this opportunity, I don't take it lightly. And you know, it's funny. You know, I've been in a lot of new situations. I mean, I always talked about building relationships with my teammates and doing those things. And you know, one of my biggest honors, I guess, and one of the biggest things for me. Yesterday, I was voted a team captain, and it's just a testament to, you know, me trying to handle my business and go about everything the right way. So, putting it all together, I do feel that way, and I feel like I built a great relationship with Coach, and we definitely want to do some great things here.
This is now your fourth head coach in your football career. You obviously started with Nick Saban and Lincoln Riley and Doug Peterson, now Nick Sirianni. What's it like working with Nick opposed to those other three coaches that I mentioned?
I think Coach Saban, you know, I look into the similarities of it. And I think, especially with Coach Saban and Coach Sirianni now, you know, they bring in these core values that kind of drive a team, core principles that, you know, represent the team and what they want to stand for. You know, at Alabama, you had commitment, being disciplined, showing effort, being tough, and playing with pride. And here, you know, we have connect, and accountability, and competing, and playing with high football IQ, and doing things the right way. So all of those values are our roots to the football team, and I think that goes a very long way.
Jalen, you guys struggled a little bit in preseason. What adjustments do you guys need to make so it translates into the regular season where you guys can improve?
It's just going out there and being consistent in what we're doing. You know, we are what we are. We're going to go out there and play. We'll go out there and execute. But I think that's the biggest thing right there. We're prepping. We obviously play Atlanta this first week, so we're prepping for them. We're going to get the game plan going and get everything in. We're going to go out to execute.
Hey, Jalen, so let me ask you this question and give me the real now. Don't tease me. Is it Boomer Sooner or is it Roll Tide? Come on now.
Man, you know what?
No one's bailing. Hey, Jalen, no one's bailing you. No one's bailing you out. What's the answer?
I tell him Roll Sooners. That's what I tell him. I keep it fly like that.
Oh, Roll Sooners. Okay. All right. That a way to get yourself out of it, because I, you know, they started to talk about these Alabama quarterbacks starting in the National Football League. I said, well, first of all, I give y'all two in Mac Jones, but my man's best work was at Oklahoma. He's a Sooner to me. I don't give a damn if his degrees say Alabama or not. He's a Sooner.
Jalen, real quick, before we get to what we got to get to, what are your expectations for this year? It's the NFC East. It's not a juggernaut division. I got you. A lot of people have you guys finishing fourth, but that does not mean we count you out. Anyone could win this division. What are your expectations for the Eagles this season?
Well, I think the goal for this team is to win. I think that's plain and simple. And that's the number one goal. And we all want to go out there and do our jobs. And, you know, for me, I'm in my position. I just want to lead them and play to my standard of play.
Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts on the Goodyear Hotline. What more can you tell us about FedEx Air and Ground NFL Awards and where fans can vote, Jalen?
Yes, sir. It's a great thing. FedEx Air and Ground has been doing this for 19 years, the past 19 years, and they can go vote. I encourage NFL fans to vote at NFL.com/FedEx. And, you know, they have some great things of service within the community, which within the HBCU community, donating $4,000 weekly. So as extra support to HBCUs, as we know, they need. And it's great to represent, you know, this new age quarterback now. So, you know, we can do it through the air and on the ground. So,
Jalen, speaking of on air on the ground, you should see Jalen Hurts' fantasy projections this year, speaking of in the air and on the ground. Can you tell us about the video you're dropping today?
Oh, yes. It's just a little something to get fans excited and encourage them to vote weekly. That's why I teamed up with FedEx and this new dual threat delivery. So, like I said, we're just representing. I had the opportunity to represent the new generation of NFL quarterbacks and delivering through the air and on the ground, just like FedEx. So,
Jalen Hurts, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you. Best of luck. Not really best of luck. I'm a Giants fan. A pox on your house. A pox on the Eagles. But otherwise, thank you for coming
on
the show.
Best of luck, Jalen, man. Do your thing this year, brother.
I got you, man. Will do.
Thanks, Jalen. And we're going to react to our conversation with Jalen Hurts. And that's after, of course, Keyshawn Johnson tells you about Straight Talk.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just under $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy 832 5G for only $295, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable devices are required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
As a fan, this is amazing.
No, it is.
The time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready?
This is Freddie Coleman, and you know I'm ready.
This is Greedy. Northwestern is ready.
Ian Fitzsimmons here. I'm ready. So are Oklahoma and Texas. Sort of. The SEC.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day on ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News, is presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. That's 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Guys, we've been talking a lot of NFC East, but there is stuff happening out west. Earlier in the show, I'd asked the question, is Dak the quarterback facing the most or among the quarterbacks facing the most pressure this year? None of us thought that was the case for different reasons. But the guy I do think is facing the most pressure is Matt Stafford. And I want you to get you guys in on this. Could you imagine? It's playoff game number one, week one of the playoffs, and Matthew Stafford doesn't win that game. Could you imagine if after making they took a number one overall pick, packaged him with two ones and a three. The dude had made a Pro Bowl or two. You know, he'd been to a Super Bowl. They packaged all that to get Stafford because this dude's supposed to be the difference. Well, he couldn't win in Detroit, never won a playoff game. That's Detroit. All of a sudden, could you imagine Stafford week one, even if it's a 60-40 proposition that you win, you might go ahead and lose. The pressure on Stafford not only to play well and make the playoffs, but to win a playoff game this year? Who's under more pressure, Jay? Jay, who's under more pressure in the NFL right now,
nobody,
let alone the NFC West?
Nobody. I agree with you. But I don't think that just pertains to Matthew Stafford. I think that pertains to the whole Rams organization. I think that goes higher. That's between Les Snead and Sean McVay for the fact that Jared Goff had them in the Super Bowl, right? Like, they were right there. For whatever reason, Sean McVay and Jared Goff couldn't get on the same page. So you decide to do that package. Les Snead buys into it for whatever reason, and you make the call. So this is a Super Bowl or bust year for the Rams. I think that pressure, just not on Matthew Stafford, but on Les Snead and Sean McVay, holy.
Key, is Matt Stafford under the most pressure?
No, I don't think the pressure really is on Matthew Stafford at all, right? I think it's on Sean McVay and Les Snead when you're talking about the Rams and the organization, because they're the ones who ultimately made the decision to move on from Jared Goff and go and get Matthew Stafford, who quite, you know, to me, there's no difference between him and Derek Carr, but that's just me. There's many people in the NFL that play the quarterback position that would say I'm crazy, that I don't know what I'm talking about. But when I look at them, same to me. I don't see a big difference. You know, they love that Matthew Stafford can make all the throws, and he's a fighting guy, and he's tough, and all the different stuff that they want to sell you to believe about him. Now, is this the best team that he's probably ever been on? Most likely, yes. And when you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey on defense and Aaron Donald on defense and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and those guys on the offensive side of the ball, they just went out and got Sony Michel in a trade to the New England Patriots to make up for Cam Akers. Yeah, I think so. But it's not on him. It's on Sean McVay, who pointed to Jared Goff and said, you are the reason that we cannot advance in the playoffs, although you did help us get to a Super Bowl, and we did believe in you and gave you $100+ million as our quarterback, but we're going to move on from you now, and we're going to go give up a handsome ransom to get a guy who went 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. So it's on Sean.
All right, Jay, I want to give you a basketball analogy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And stay with me here, because I know it's a big difference, and superstars determine it in basketball in a way that they don't in the NFL. In the NBA versus the NFL. I look at Damian Lillard, right? That dude just smells like a championship, right? He has that thing. He's a big game player. But we know he's never been on a championship caliber team. Not a championship caliber team. We're not holding that against him. Matt Stafford has more fourth quarter comebacks than like anyone in his career, right? But we, and arm talent, he's always been like a top five-ish kind of arm talent guy. So we pin it on the organization. My point is, could you imagine if Damian Lillard was on a championship-caliber team and got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs? That's how I'm looking at Stafford. What happens this year will reflect on his legacy and shine a different light on it for us one way or another. To me, I hear what everyone's saying about Sean McVay. You know, the zone, outside zone blocking and everything will be what it is, and he's inventive and all that stuff. But to me, the pressure really is on the quarterback here.
I hear what you're saying about the Dame Lillard conversation, but I can't. Dude, Dame is like a top five player in the league. That's my only thing.
Top five, top 10.
I mean, you can battle it. You can battle it. I mean, we can get into that battle if you want to battle it.
We can maybe do
Dame
that
might be a top five player in the league.
I love me some Damian Lillard, but let's not get carried away.
Do you want to go there?
Yeah.
So who will be your top five players in the league if he's not in there?
LeBron and KD are both clearly better than Damian Lillard. We can take that off the table,
okay,
right? Giannis is better than Damian Lillard.
Okay.
Okay, I haven't even – Embiid is better than Damian Lillard.
I don't know about
Jokic
that.
Jokic is better than Damian Lillard.
I don't know about that.
Really?
Yes, I don't know about that.
I don't even have to move
on. If you were starting a team, you would go with Embiid over Dame?
Damian Lillard was in the league this year. Yep.
Max.
Yep.
I'm going to stop you real quick, because right now you just lost me when you said that the Joker was better than Dame
the MVP.
That's the MVP. Your MVP. Regular season. That's your MVP.
No, he's the league MVP.
That ain't my MVP.
Look, I love me some Damian Lillard, and he was fighting it out with Jokic. But by the end of the season, Jokic was the MVP. But by the way, you can move off those guys. I can move off those guys.
I hear what you're saying. I get
James Harden or Damian Lillard?
I take Dame.
Over James Harden?
Yes.
Well, that's where you and I disagree. Okay. I mean, James Harden is perennially an MVP candidate. Damian Lillard's not.
Okay.
And I love Dame Lillard.
I think that's that right now they're both about a wash.
All I'm saying is
Harden, game for game, was the best player in the league in the regular season this year.
All I'm saying is, with your analogy, and I hear what your analogy was saying, when I think of Dame, I think of top players in the league.
Yeah.
When I hear Matthew Stafford, I don't know if I think top QBs in the league. So I don't know if that comparison.
I get it. It's not a perfect comparison.
I wasn't expecting for it to be. Yeah. That's where I think it makes my point, though, Max, is that Matt Stafford. It's, yes, the talent is there. Right, I don't know if the talent's been considered to be at the top echelon of the league, which I think takes away some of the pressure on him to a degree. I know he's going into a championship-built vehicle, but that's where I look at what Key and I are talking about, Sean McVay and Les Snead, because they're the ones that decide to pull the trigger on this for a guy like Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford didn't say, hey, Rams, you're forced to take me. They decided to take him. That's on them. The pressure's on them.
And when you talk about Matthew Stafford in comparison to – and I'll go back to the Dame Lillard comparison. Dame Lillard elevates guys around him. He's carried his team as far – he had them in a Western Conference final, okay? Matthew Stafford hasn't even won a playoff game. Certain quarterbacks in this league, no matter what you think about them statistically.
Like several years ago.
How many?
They made it to the Western Conference Finals.
They made it to the Western Conference Finals. They lost to Oakland.
Yeah.
So come on, man. Max, come on. Now sharpen up the scoop.
He's waved goodbye to Paul George. Was that the same year? They're bleeding together.
Matthew Stafford has yet to elevate his team like most quarterbacks in his league. They elevate.
Stay right there, Key. Stay right there. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. He has all these comebacks. He has all this arm talent, right? They traded so much for him. And we blame a lot of the lack of playoff success on his surroundings. But, Key, what you just said is right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We don't know for sure. It's almost like an experiment. Like, hold up, time out. Matt Stafford, given the right circumstances, can you at least win a playoff game? To me, that's pressure given everything they moved to get him.
Well, I'm assuming he's going to win a playoff game or get to the playoffs.
You better.
That's not it for me when it comes to the pressure on him. The pressure on him has to get them to the Super Bowl because the tall, skinny dude with number 16 with the lion on the side of his helmet, he got the Rams to the Super Bowl.
He did. More pressure for Stafford. Because McVay got him there. So, Stafford. I'm just saying.
I hear what you're saying.
NFC and the NFC West is a beast. One team has to not make the playoffs in the NFC West, right? Like, what? Someone's got to not make the playoffs. It's not impossible that's the Rams. They're all really good. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you. What is the NFL game we will learn the most from this weekend? Plus, wait until you hear about the spread Key had for his Labor Day festivities. He's rubbing it in. That's after
nobody
has this from Indeed.
Oh. Yeah.
I got it, Max.
Thank you, brother.
Running your own business requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment your sponsor needs a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
I think the inside track for the number one seed, I've been saying it over and over again in the AFC, is Tennessee.
Greeny, weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Sean, Jay Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us via the Goodyear hotline, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. All right, what is the NFL game that's going to teach us the most this week? What do we say earlier? I took the Browns and Chiefs. Who'd you take, Jay?
I took the division game, man. I took the
Dolphins
Patriots
and Pats.
And Dolphins,
and who'd you have, Key?
I took the Saints, but... He took
10 games. You took like 10
games. I took the Saints, and then I explained there's other games as well, Jason, is what I did.
Yes, thank you for calling me by my full government name, Joseph.
Yeah, I'm still full from yesterday, though, so I'm, you know.
Because you had Thanksgiving dinner on Labor Day. That's what it felt like.
I don't know. He is trying to kind of turn Labor Day into Thanksgiving.
Look,
it's not a bad idea.
I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I saw 15 texts from Key on the group chat. I said, "Damn, 15. What we got?" And they're all different things. What y'all had? Pizza. You had collard greens. You had donuts. I said, "Damn, what is going on?"
Yeah, he had a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't go together either.
What do you mean?
I saw the tequila bottle next to the greens.
No, man, you get pizza for the kids.
All right.
And then you had all the barbecue, and then you had the salmon grilled, and then you had the collard greens.
Pizza.
And then you had the potato salad, the mac, the cheese, the beans. Like, we had it right.
Hey, Key, I know one thing. You ain't let nobody else touch the – you handled the cooking. You handled the cooking and the meat, didn't you?
Oh, man, come on.
Yeah, I know that's a fact.
Some of the people that I was with, they can't touch the meat. Nope, we're not taking packaged meat out of the grocery store and throwing it on a grill. No, that's not happening.
That spread is a little bit – everywhere. I don't understand it.
The donuts threw me off.
What do you mean? It's
you got like
dessert.
Healthy food mixed with pizza and donuts, mixed with collard greens.
It's
mixed
Labor
with,
Day.
He's got like caviar and also bagels and lox and also some lo mein and I don't know what. He's got stuff that doesn't mix.
Orange chicken.
No, man, y'all need to stop, man. It was the barbecue was right. Everything was right. The pizzas was right, but the pizza was for kids, and then obviously the vegan cheese on some of the pizzas was
see what
for
I mean?
The vegans.
See what I mean? The pizza and the donuts and the vegan cheese. Like, that's going to do something.
But it wasn't just me. It was another 20-something people.
No, oh, okay.
Can I tell you, though? Yeah. Key had the spread right. I mean, he was cooking the pizza in the wood oven burning fireplace.
Oh, you got the wood oven pizza.
It was legit now. It wasn't just no pizza you put in the microwave, you know what I mean, for a minute and a half. He had the real joint.
No, we wasn't messing around with calling the pizza delivery man. This is real, you know, we get down the real way.
I mean, I don't know. The pizza delivery man in New York's pretty good.
It's great here.
That's pretty good.
I actually didn't have pizza yesterday, but let's find out if any of our callers did, man.
Oh, there you go, Key. I like that. Look at that. Jake in Florida, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
You guys, man, I love what you guys do, man. But if these two teams, they got the Florida connection. Primarily, I agree with Jay. The Dolphins and the Patriots, because of the two quarterback situation, I'm not sure what I got with Tua. And then Mac Jones, you obviously there. And then the other game, Jacksonville and the Saints. what's Jameis Winston all about, and how is Trevor Lawrence going to look for Jacksonville? So I say those two teams connected here in Florida, those games are going to tell me a lot about both of these, all four of those teams, rather.
Well, those are your two guys' picks.
You know, another interesting point that was brought up yesterday is that, you know, a lot of players that went to their respective colleges over the weekend, how will the COVID protocols affect them? You know, a lot of guys, you go back to your college, Trevor Lawrence is at Clemson going to see games. You're going to hang out bars. You're going to relax. Will there be any, you know, effects of that coming back? It's going to be interesting to see.
Key took your game, too.
Yeah, I think, though, this game is all about Jameis. That's all it's about. It's not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about Jameis Winston, a guy who was run out of Tampa Bay. They went on to win a championship 12 months later after he was gone, and now he replaces a future Hall of Famer, Drew Brees. Sean Payton is a true quarterback whisperer to me. I know his entire tenure as a head coach in New Orleans was tied to Drew Brees. But what I would say is, he's developed backup quarterbacks. He found Tony Romo. So it's kind of like I'm waiting to see the next generation for him with Jameis Winston. Can he turn Jameis Winston into a Tony Romo, Drew Brees type?
I'm with you, but I think without Michael Thomas, we're not going to get a full the grade will be incomplete until he gets his all-world receiver back.
But
by the way,
you can still see what he is, though. And once Mikey comes back, that'll add something to it.
Key, mm-hmm. I know, like, you don't need to be told about Michael Thomas, but most, like, people forget 12 months ago, 18 months ago, the best argument you could make based on the evidence for best receiver in football was Michael Thomas.
Agreed.
Even if I would have taken Julio Jones, based on the evidence, Michael Thomas had the best case. The best in the game. Well, you don't have that guy. That's a big hit. Mike in Florida, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hey, guys. I totally agree with Max. It's Cleveland and KC, no-brainer. I mean, that's the biggest impact to the league for maybe the whole year. Cleveland's only going to get one shot outside of the playoffs to play Kansas City. What's going to happen? Are they going to lose bad and everybody's like, same old Cleveland? Do they lose close? Everybody gives them a pity party and say maybe next time? Or do they go out there and punch Kansas City in the mouth, announce their presence with authority, and set the league on notice?
What's up? What's up, Key? I agree. I mean, that's my pick, too, because the Chiefs rebuilt the offensive line, and I want to see what the defense looks like. I think they're getting it out of the AFC. But the Browns are for real. Browns got a real team.
The problem with the Cleveland-Kansas City situation is Cleveland isn't right next to Kansas City. They're not chasing them. This isn't Baltimore-Kansas City. Baltimore-Kansas City. Baltimore-Kansas City. Cleveland played them in the playoffs last year. But look what happened.
One score game.
It was a close game for a minute.
Yes, but Patrick Mahomes got hurt. Let's use the entire context here. It wasn't like Patrick Mahomes played the entire game 100% healthy. 2 years from now, you could start to argue that, Cleveland can surpass him, da-da-da. But not right now.
Look, you are going to have to outscore the Chiefs, like, early. We said Warren Sharp Analytics talks about, like, when you score X number of points in the first half, mm-hmm. you're like – the teams are 8-11 against the Chiefs, but that's better than like 0-50, right? So you look at the team like Buffalo, but I look at the Browns, given what they did last year, the offensive line, the improving quarterback, they have a real defense, they're getting healthy, and then they add OBJ to that? I don't know. I think they are right there.
I think they're right. I've been saying I think they're right there, but a lot for me during this game will be the chemistry between OBJ and Baker Mayfield.
No doubt.
How that will work will determine the altitude of where the Browns can go.
Well, so how was your first day, Max Kellerman, on the Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Will Show?
You mean the Max Kellerman? Listen, I think it was very generous of you two to want to call it the Max Kellerman Show. I don't think it's right. I think we should just keep it Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. It was a lot of fun. We laughed, we cried, we learned. And we'll see you tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Same time, same bat channel, same moment.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.